Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Marriage and More podcast with your hosts, Sterling and Soretta Smith, where they talk about love, life, marriage, and a whole lot more.
What's up? What's up? Welcome to Marriage and More with your host,
Sterling Smith
and Soretta Smith, where we talk about love,
life,
marriage,
and a whole lot more.
I thought we'd just mix it up a little bit this
time. That's cool. We got to come in different every once in a while.
Well, welcome to the show. We thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to tune in to Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta, again, where we talk about love, life, marriage, and a whole lot more. It is Women's History Month, Mr. Smith.
Yes, it is.
And last week we did a show where we talked about the women in our lives, and we honored my counterpart here in the city of Grovetown, Dr. Fisher, Dr. Councilwoman Deborah Fisher. This week we were supposed to have another guest. This lady actually marched in the civil rights movement, but due to conflicts, we weren't able to get her on the show. But we're certainly hoping to get her on by the end of Women's History Month, because I just cannot wait to talk to her and hear what it was like to march and be a part of the civil rights movement back during
that time.
Yeah, MLK, John Lewis.
Firsthand experience.
Yeah.
Someone that was right there in the fight, in the grind, in the battle, and that can come back and share her experiences with us.
Yeah, so I'm excited and looking forward to talking to her. We're going to make every effort to have her as our guest next week. And again, it's Women's History Month. Here in our city, we just issued a proclamation recognizing Women's History Month. So that was pretty exciting. That's the first time something like that has happened here. And also, our local high school basketball team, the Grovetown Warriors, G-Town. That was the Warriors' cry.
Yeah, that was their cry.
That was their war cry. They won the state championship last week, the very first regional and state championship in our county. And, I mean, the game was awesome. It was like being at an NBA basketball game, Sterling.
Yes, I mean, those little kids, those young men.
No, they weren't little.
Those young.
Some of them are 6'9".
Those young, tall men played their hearts out.
They played their hearts out. They was slam dunking. What did you say the boy did? A windmill dunk?
Yeah, he did a windmill.
They were windmill dunking and two-hand dunking. And
they were playing like grown men.
They were playing like grown men. I mean, it was phenomenal. And the city really showed up, drove down to Macon to support, and their parents were so proud. It was an exciting night, and then we came back and went to the gym, and they cut down both the nets, one to signify them being the regional champions, and the other to signify them being the state champions.
And 6A, the largest bracket.
The largest bracket, yeah.
You can actually play in.
And then we honored them at our city council meeting. We gave them a certificate of recognition, and we've got a couple other things planned here from the city level to make them feel as special and proud as they are and as they should be. Phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal. So shout out to the Grovetown Warriors basketball team here in the city of Grovetown. Again, we are so proud of you. We're so excited for you. And they only had two seniors on the team.
That's it. So they'll be a force to be reckoned with next year,
they
too.
They will be a force to be reckoned with next year. And we hope to be sitting courtside catching some of those games next season. So I'm excited about that.
It was good to recognize the young men. We have to recognize our young people when they do outstanding things. And just don't let it go unnoticed.
Because, you know, oftentimes, you know, we're so quick to get on social media or the news to talk about the negative and to publicize, you know, when kids, you know, make mistakes or when they get into trouble or, you know, when they violate the law, we can be so quick to highlight that and to make that, you know, the news, the talk,
the focus.
Yeah. But when kids, when our young people do great things, we need to make sure that we highlight that, that we let them know how powerful that is, how powerful they are, and encourage them to keep doing great things. And so just wanted to make sure that they knew, you know, stay on that path they're going on. Like I said, 6'9", I think the tallest guy is 6'9". I mean, though they are tall. They are tall.
I don't know what they're feeding these young kids these days, but they're growing. They grow like weeds.
So, so Sterling, this week, since we didn't have our guests, I thought we would talk about the blended family. And before we get into that, to the topic of the blended family, we want to give our disclaimer, as always, we are not licensed therapists.
Nope, nope, nope.
Or practitioners or clinicians.
None of that stuff.
But we've been married 27. This year will be 28 years.
28 years.
28 years in May. And we believe that we have lived these 28 years of marriage,
experienced a lot,
and seen a lot, lived through a lot, compromised through a lot, fought through a lot, worked together through a lot. And we just want to share our experiences and the things that we've learned along the way, hopefully to inspire, encourage,
and help you
and motivate and help people who are married to
navigate that path.
Yeah. And you can make it. You can make it if both parties are willing to put in the work and the sacrifices that's sometimes necessary, then you can make it. But we had a blended family.
Yes, we do.
And I grew up in a blended family.
Oh, okay. Yes, you did.
Yeah, I grew up in a blended family. So when we talk about a blended family is when one or both of the spouses have a child or children from a previous marriage or relationship. Remember, yes. Remember the TV show, The Brady Bunch?
The Brady Bunch.
Yes. The Brady Bunch was our classic example.
That was your first example of a blended
family.
Coming together.
Yeah. So I would sing the song, but I don't, you know.
Please don't. Please don't.
Oh, gosh. And so we got to see, you know, the blended family. But I grew up in a blended family where my father, I have a sister. We don't share the same mother, but we share the same father. And so, and then you and I, we have a blended family.
Yes, we do.
You had a son from
a previous marriage.
I didn't have any children from any previous relationships, but you have a son from a previous marriage. And you know, for me, I don't do the whole step thing. I don't like the step thing because when I married you, your son, our son, he became my son, and I helped to raise him when he was here in our home. I cooked for him. I cleaned for him. I bathed him. I washed his clothes. I spent time with him. You know, I shopped with him and for him, just like I would my own children.
Yes, you get the whole package. I mean, whether it was if you had a child from a previous marriage, or I had a child from a previous marriage. You get the whole package. You marry the whole group.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but sometimes, you know, and I think overall it was a fairly good experience. We did have some bumps, you know, early on, but and that's to be expected.
That's natural.
That's to be expected because you're bringing a child or children into a relationship, and so. When I met you, we didn't have any kids, and so he was still young. And then I had our first son, and then I had our second son, and then his mom eventually ended up remarrying, and she had a child. And so it could be challenging for children coming into families, you know, where there are other children involved. And sometimes it can be a pleasant experience and sometimes it can't be. I can remember having friends that also were in blended families. And sometimes it was not always a great experience. I have girlfriends who have married and their spouse has children. And let's get into the nitty gritty of this thing. Let's talk about, you know, they say the baby mama drama.
Yeah. Or daddy drama.
I was going to say, or daddy drama. Because that can go either way.
Either way.
That can go either way. And this is one of the things that can really test
a marriage.
It can test a marriage. And so you can have a scenario where, like, you and I were married. You had a child from a previous relationship. And if that ex-wife or ex-girlfriend has not moved on, does not want to move on, or is not ready to move on, it can cause problems.
Lots of confusion.
It can cause problems, especially if the man enters into a marriage, not just a relationship, not just a girlfriend, but a marriage. It can be very, very ugly. And so I remember one time our pastor in Germany, Dr. Charles Johnson, and we're going to have Dr. Johnson on the show. I just need to reach out to him and get him on the show because they dealt a lot with marriage and relationships. And you and I were newly married. Well, we weren't newly married. I think we had been married because the kids were like, we had been married about 7 years.
Yes.
About 7 years. And so, but it was still a challenging time. And so in terms of the blended family, because you have visitation, you have child support, you have all of these different dynamics.
Yes. Everything must be spelled out in paper of how you're going to relate with the blended family. It has to be, or it's going to cause all kinds of drama.
Yeah, it's going to cause all kinds of problems. So, and I know a lot of times you got caught in the crossfire because you're just trying to make sure that you can see your son, that your son knows he's loved. And you caught a lot from me because there were times where I felt disrespected, where I didn't feel like things were, you know, done the right way, or where sometimes there were demands made that I didn't necessarily agree with. And so I remember Dr. Johnson was teaching the series about the blended family, and he gave some very good advice and guidance, because if you have a spouse, whether it's the man or the woman, and they still have feelings, like they didn't really want the divorce or they didn't really want to break up or separate, and they still have feelings, then they're going to be a problem. And so one of the things that he talked about was, like, in terms of like communicating, is to let the women communicate, right? Or if it's the men, let the men communicate, you know, let the men handle
the man's business and let the ladies handle the ladies' business.
Right. So if we're talking about, okay, you know, summer vacation, then let the women get on the phone and discuss, okay, when are they coming? How long are they going to stay? How are we going to exchange? Is it going to be, are we driving there? Are you driving here? Are they coming on the airplane? Who's paying for it? You know, let them, because a lot of times it could create problems if the wife, the new wife, or the new girlfriend, or the new husband, or the new boyfriend, you know, feels insecure or feels like there's something still going on. So kind of to avoid that, you just let, talk about
you,
it.
Well, you let, you. I thought you was about to finish. You let the ladies talk, and you let the men talk when it comes time for discussing things, if it involves that nature of discussion.
Okay, keep talking. I mean, give some more insight. What was it like for you?
I mean, for me, I thought it was easy, but now that I look back at it and I look at you on your half, I can see where you would see it was difficult at, because like you were saying before, if one of the parties hasn't got over, or as I say, move forward, I'm trying to go forward. But if you keep looking back at what you left, there's going to be a problem, because if you got feelings still, why are you going into another marriage with another person if you still have feelings for that person? And Men, you have to nip that. You have to shut that down. Even if that person does still have feelings, you got to say, "Hey, you're my past. I'm looking forward. I'm not going back."
And I make it clear that the only communication that you all are to have is related to the child.
Excellent point.
Right. This just, I'm just calling to see how you doing.
No.
You're not just calling to see how nobody doing. Okay. Hey, come on. Let's be real. Or vice versa. The man just calling another man's wife. Yeah, you have a child together, but that's no longer your wife. She's somebody else's wife. And unless it's something pertaining to or relating to the child, let's just go out and have lunch together.
No.
I'm telling you, these are things like these. I remember Dr. Johnson teaching about this stuff. And these are practical things that you have to apply and put into place. Because if you don't, it's going to cause problems. And, you know, that goes back to, I hear people say, well, you know, my ex and I, we're still friends. And I get that being friends, like having a relationship,
you gotta have a cordial relationship
and co-parenting.
Yes. Concerning parenting.
But not friends like, hey, let's go to a movie hey, let's have lunch or hey, let's go out and eat or hey, I just called to see how you're doing. That's something more than friendship, and that's going
to
cause.
Or it's leading to more.
And that's going to cause problems. Let's talk about from the child's perspective. A child coming in, his mom is divorced and, is dating somebody else. I know we had a mutual friend who he was sharing with us one time that he had to talk to his son because his mom was dating and his son didn't like it. And his son was, you know, acting out and being rebellious because his mom was dating. He didn't have a problem with his dad dating. But when his mom started dating, you know, it was difficult. And I can understand that because mothers and sons have a unique bond.
It's the bond.
Yeah, have a unique bond. And he had a good relationship with his dad. It's not like his dad wasn't in his life. And so here this man comes in, you know, coming into their home and, you know, spending time with his mom. And so, you know, a lot of times kids, especially depending on the age, they don't know how to articulate
what they're going through,
their feelings and how they feel about. So it's really important if you're a mom or a dad and you're in a new relationship that you have these conversations and have these check-ins with your kids. So did you ever have a check-in with our son about me and our relationship and getting married and all of that good stuff?
Yes, as many times as I possibly could. I would always sit down and talk to him about the dynamic, the family dynamic that we had right now at that point. And it's also would be good that both of you sit down with the kid at the same time and then sit down with him as individuals also so he can hear from both aspects. And then he'll understand it more. He said, hey, okay, this must be important if they're willing to talk to me about this situation. And get and let them have feedback. Let them give you feedback. Don't let them control your marriage or your relationship, but let them have some type of feedback.
Absolutely. And you know what? Counseling may be necessary. When I was growing up, we didn't talk about the blended family. All I knew was that I had a sister. We didn't have the same mom. She came on the weekends. She went on vacation with us. And as I got older, I remember thinking about what it must have been like for her because I had my dad all the time. And so she only got to have him when she came once a month on the weekends and sometimes that didn't even happen, or when she got to come and stay in the summertime or if we went on vacation. And so as I got older, and especially when I accepted Jesus Christ and began to process some of my feelings of growing up in this blended family, I began to look at it through her eyes and to have compassion and understanding that, you know, understanding the importance of the father, especially having my own kids and understanding like how important it is to have that father in the home and what that means and how fortunate our kids were to have you here.
You said a lot right there to try to look at it through from their viewpoint, because you won't be able to understand it because you'll just say, hey, that's my dad. You always see him as my. She's seeing him as her dad too, but she doesn't get to spend the amount of time. So try to look at it through their eyes. Then you'll say, okay, I can see the difficulties that he or she may be having with accepting this blended family thing.
Yeah. And we didn't have therapy and counseling. That wasn't something that was, you know, in our community that we even talked about or discussed, or probably we couldn't even afford. But looking back, and I talk about this in the book I wrote called The Black Sheep, that I began to, as I was older, begin to have more compassion and understanding and really look at it and see, you know, how she felt. And so a lot of things that I perceived as a young child and a teenager, it really wasn't what I believed or thought it was to be. And I was really, you know, blessed, again, like I said, to have my dad in the house, you know, every day, day in and day out. And I think it's important. I talk about in my other book, Jealousy and Envy, the Diabolical Duo. I think it's important to sit kids down and to talk to kids. I know my brother has a blended family. And I remember one of the issues that used to come up was like birthdays, Christmas time, or just like, sometimes I would just send my nieces little things. And I would always try to remember my brother's wife's daughter.
Yes.
And include her at Christmas time, you know, Easter, those major holidays. But there were some times where I would just, you know, pick my niece up something if I saw it. And, you know, we had to have a conversation with her to tell her, you know, sometimes when your grandmother or your family does things for you, they don't always bring gifts or things for my niece.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time, you know, we may bring something for my niece, we may not always bring you something, but that doesn't mean that we don't love you, you know, because if you don't help them to understand those things, it will create jealousy and envy. And that will grow up in them.
Yes.
Like, right. That will grow up in them and
the envy leads to rage. And yeah. Then that's when they start acting out.
Right, right, right. So I think it's important to have those conversations. And I mean, as often as we could, we always try to include her. But when you have that blended family, like those are things you have to be aware of. Okay. If I buy, you know, one scarf and hat, you know, if I can afford it, you know, I probably need to get two, because you never want to make a child feel rejected
or left out.
And so that's a challenge, making sure that you don't ever make that child feel left out. I can say for my family, on my side, you know, when we went on family vacations, Junior was with us on family vacations. Sometimes he would go off with the family. I remember one night, the boys ended up crawling out of their bed because we were staying at my mom's, and they loved to sleep with their granny. And I remember getting up through the middle of the night to check on them, and they had all, and to include him, they had come out of their room,
mm-hmm.
and they were all laying in the bed with my mom. And I thought it was the sweetest thing, you know, that he felt like, you know, he could go lay in granny's bed too, that she loved him just like, you know, he was her biological grandchild. And so it's so important not to make a difference, and to make sure that every one of those kids know that they're valued and they're loved.
And sometimes if you can leave it up to the kids will work.
They'll work it out.
They'll figure it out, because they just like to play.
Yeah.
They just like being inclusive and being a part of something. So sometimes just let them talk. Listen to them and see how they go about working things out, because a kid can teach you a lot.
Yeah. Well, especially when they're younger. And, you know, we hope that adult kids, you know, that I love listening to Marjorie Harvey, Steve Harvey, talk about their blended family and, you know, how, you know, when they got married, you know, Steve had adult kids, she had adult kids, and you just see how the families blended together, because at the end of the day, you know, it's not a competition. Every child has a different personality, and you love that. You love each one of the kids, but there's something different and unique about each one of them. And you kind of tap into each child's difference and uniqueness. And so it's so important to make sure, again, that each child feels confident, each child feels loved, each child is assured that they have the love of that. And again, I like step parent, but that's the term that they've given, you know, step parents. And as a step parent, to make sure that you're not showing favoritism, that you are.
You just love them all.
You just love them all.
All the same.
Yeah. And if you have a baby mama or a daddy baby, keep them in check.
You got to.
You got to keep them in check.
Because if you can nip all that, like I said, the kids will figure it out. They'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Just try to keep things in perspective. And you know that kids are going to be kids at times. They're going to battle. They're going to argue. They're going to fight. But ultimately, they love each other.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the biggest challenge in the blended family, a lot of times, is the adult.
Yes. We keep the drama going. Yeah. Because we try to use it as a holding point or as a get back point at the person that you left. You try to hold the kids, you hold them in limbo.
Yeah. And you know what? Don't do that. I just want to say that I don't think we had that problem, but I have seen in relationships where the woman will keep the kids from their father, you know, especially if they get a new wife. Now, I remember being in court. Now, this is actually interesting. I remember being in court with someone. I'm not going to say who I was in court with, but it was in child court. And I remember there was a lady, and I felt so bad for this lady, a single parent, and she had just gotten a place. She didn't have beds for the kids. I mean, the lady was struggling. Apparently from the divorce, you know, she really lost, you know, everything, and she was really struggling, but she was trying to get back on her feet. So the dad, you know, he was pretty well off, and he had a new girlfriend, and they were there for custody. And so the new girlfriend, well, she was the fiance. And so this dad was really talking bad about the mom. And I remember the judge like just shutting him down, like saying, listen, I don't care what you think about her. Like, I don't care what happened between y'all, but that's the mother of your kids. And you're not going to stand here in this courtroom and degrade this woman, you know, because it didn't work out between y'all. And I hope that you're not degrading her in front of her kids. And so the judge made him buy beds and pay for beds for the kids to have beds. And I remember the judge asking who the lady was. And he said, well, that's my fiance. And he said, well, does she spend the night when the kids come? And he was like, of course. And he said, well, that won't happen again until she has Mrs. behind her name. She can come over and stay all day long. But when they lay their heads down and go to sleep, she better be out of the house. And the next time I have a visit with the kid, I'm going to ask the kids, has she been spending the night?
That goes back to, like I said, it has to be written down in law. Somebody has to control that stuff, because if not, it's just creating confusion. And I like what you said about the wife or the husband should not speak bad about the mother or father of that kid. That's just crazy right there. That's just creating drama.
Yeah.
Because children are sponges. They're gonna take it in, and it's gonna come back out somewhere later, and at the most unlikely time, they're gonna start living that way and thinking that way about that person.
Or when they get to an age where they're able to see and understand for themselves, they're going to end up resenting their mom or their dad, because they're going to see for themselves it really wasn't like what that parent
was portraying,
spoon-fed them and made them believe. And they're going to resent that parent for time that they missed, for a bond and a relationship, you know, in time that they didn't get with their mom or their dad. And so it's going to come back to bite you. And so that's something that you don't want to do. But I was sitting in that courtroom and I wanted to go, yeah, yeah. Cause this guy was so arrogant. And I mean, he had on his suit and his, you know, the fiance was in there. She was all dressed up and
it has to be laid down.
And here was this lady, you know, and she looked so sad, but you could tell, you know, that the kids loved their mom and she was just having a hard time and struggling. And so I was like, I thought that judge was like awesome. It's like you said, sometimes the best thing to do is to go to court. If you're dealing with someone, if you're in a blended family situation and you're dealing with a spouse, a baby mom or daddy baby who's being difficult, then the best thing to do is go to court and have a judge settle it all.
Yes.
And put it in writing.
And signed and placed somewhere where you can refer back to it when things do not go right.
And that will save a lot of stress, strain, and struggle in your marriage.
Yes, most definitely will.
It will save a lot of stress, strain, and struggle in your marriage because you don't want to put that type of pressure on your new wife or your new husband.
Or your kids.
Or the kids. The kids are who are the most important, right?
Yes, kids are the most important.
But you don't want to end up in another divorce because, you know, the mother or the father of the previous relationship is being difficult and unseemly because
of the blended family aspect.
Of the blended family aspect. You know, they say you don't miss what you got till it's gone. Well,
it's gone. Let
too,
it go.
Too bad. So sad. What did I say? Bye, Felicia. And so
if it's gone, let it go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So the blended family can be the most beautiful thing. We saw that in the Brady Bunch. I mean, we're living it. I remember when my 50th birthday and Junior came to my 50th birthday party. And it was probably the most heartwarming thing. You know, he stood up and he told everybody, hey, I don't know if you know, but, you know, that's my stepmom. But, you know, she's never called me step. She's never made me feel any different than, you know, my brothers. And that was just so heartwarming. And I remember a card that he gave me for Mother's Day. And it said, you know, if he had to choose someone, he chose the right person. Like, you're the best. And so it can be rewarding. It can be such an exhilarating and rewarding and fulfilling experience. But I think with age comes wisdom. And I look back now and a lot of things, you know, there's some things, you know, that I probably said and did that if I had to redo it, I'd do it a different way. But that comes with maturity. And I'm sure a lot of people will look back and if you're in a blended family and you may have had some moments that
you're not proud of.
You know, you would go back and do it a different way. But, yeah, the blended family.
Hey, the blended family.
The blended family.
They're out there. They exist, and they will continue to exist.
Well, look, we hope you enjoyed this talk today. If you have a blended family, remember that the most important people in that blended family are the children.
Yes, the children.
And for the sake of the children, because you don't want your kids to grow up dysfunctional or traumatized or afraid of relationships because of what you modeled before them, the dysfunction that you modeled before them, the bad behavior that you modeled before them. So if counseling is what's necessary, get counseling. If going before a judge and getting things written out in a court order as to how you're going to co-parent, if that's the answer, then do that. But
yes,
do whatever you need to do to make sure that your kids have a stable, healthy, loving,
life,
thriving environment and life
that they can grow up in and be mature, productive individuals.
All right. Well, look, thanks for listening to the show today. Hang tight. Afterwards, there's some information on where you can follow us on social media. And we appreciate you tuning in. You can tune in every Wednesday right here on Bashani Radio. You can download the Bashani Radio app or you can go wherever podcasts are available and check out the show. And so we will always close out with our marriage mantra. And it goes a little something like this. The more you put in your marriage,
the more you'll get out of your marriage.
Until next time, take care.
Peace.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to the Marriage and More podcast with Sterling and Soretta Smith. Follow Sterling and Soretta on Instagram and Facebook at Marriage and More with Sterling and Soretta.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.